5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to an episode, the episode of Tiger Belly. I am your captain, and I'm your leader, Bobby Lee. And I have my beautiful girlfriend, Kalala Kuyun. And we've got Gilbert. And let me say, before I introduce our guest, I just want to say that this has been a dream of mine. Whenever I see Margaret, I just get gaga. Do you feel that from me, Margaret?
Yeah, well, it's always an honor.
To feel gaga from you.
It's very, as you should, because I'm a little bit older than you.
That is true.
You should show that Nuna respect, but not that much respect, because I'm just a Nuna, not Ajima, or I'm not...
You know, I don't look at you as an Ajima or a Nuna.
Or a Komo.
No, you're not a Komo. You're not a Komo at all.
Grandma?
It's an aunt.
Oh, an aunt.
An aunt.
Is that what you say, a Kunimo?
Kunimo. You're not a Kunimo to me.
Imo is an aunt on your mother's side. No, is on your father's
You're more like Hananim.
Hananim.
Hananim means God.
Sonnim. I'm just a guest. Sonnim.
So we have Margaret Cho. Give her a round of applause, everybody. Let's do that. Why don't we do that? Gilbert.
Thank you very much.
Clap your hands, man. Thank you. Thank you. Gilbert, you're a gay Filipino.
Not true, but that's okay.
Go to money.
I don't know what you said, but I know the motion.
Machi Soyuga.
He said you eat a lot of
dicks. Yeah, I got the cock part. The cock part was obvious.
He said they're very delicious.
Oh, yeah.
The dicks that you eat are delicious.
I don't eat bad ones. They're delicious.
The good kinds.
Yeah, and
the good kind.
This is my girlfriend, Kalila. She's also Filipino.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Very lovely lady.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks, pretty.
And I have to say this, the reason why I get gaga is because of the fact that I don't know if I'd be doing stand-up without you, because I think in the mid-90s, mm-hmm. maybe 94, I saw you on your HBO special. Mm-hmm. And you were young. Mm-hmm. I'd never really had heard of you before. And I was watching you and I go... It was the first time you saw somebody that Asian, and also specifically Korean, that had a voice that you could relate to. You know, because I had seen Tamayo Atsuki on something, and she had a thick accent. I love Tamayo.
She's great.
She's insane
also.
And funny.
Yeah.
But I didn't really relate to her. And Johnny Yoon was a little way too old for me.
He was older.
But here's a woman that's a girl who's Korean, who is hip and, you know, attitude and very American. And I was just like, oh, she's the female version of me. And a year later, I started doing stand-up.
I love that. I love that. It's so nice. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, and you and I are very similar in many... We've struggled with things.
Yeah, lots of different things, for sure.
Yeah.
Lots of different things.
Yeah, yuck.
Yuck.
What's that?
Yuck.
Medicine.
Medicine. Sometimes we need medicine over the years.
Yeah.
We've needed it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And na yuck mo ni mogoso na.
Mani mogoso. 괜찮아.
야, 괜찮아.
다 끝났어. 뭔가 다 끝났어.
So many subtitles to edit for that.
not gochu mogo jigeum.
I went to dick.
Yeah. So you just got sober again. Can I say that? Ask you.
Yeah. I'm sober.
What?
I'm a sober lady.
How did? Because when I met you, you were sober.
Yeah, I was sober a long time.
So what happened?
Well, I just didn't think that it applied to me anymore. You know, after you have a long time without any drugs or alcohol, you kind of think, oh, I was why don't I get to do this? You know, and it had to do actually with marijuana becoming legal for medicinal purposes in California, and I became very curious about that, and so I got a prescription, and then you know they do say that it's not a gateway drug, but yeah. actually for me it is, you know, because yeah. I thought, well, if I do that, then everything else I can do also, which is drinking and using a lot of different drugs. But, you know, it doesn't really work with my métier. You know, I'm not, yeah. not built for that kind of stuff. Yeah. So.
I mean, did you right away, like you smoked pot and then you were like, how long did it take you to do other things?
It took a while. Yeah. It took a good long while to start doing other things. But when I started, then I found that I kept just decreasing my need for marijuana and increasing my need for other things that, you know, were not so positive, you know, things like opiates and benzodiazepines and alcohol in combination, in concert.
each other. Yeah.
It's not the best. Yeah. You know, and especially if you like around the early 2000s, you could get whatever you wanted online. You know, they weren't really sure. regulating anything, and you could sort of get whatever drug you wanted, including things, you know, like replicates of Quaaludes that they were making in India, wow. things that have no medicinal value. You know, yeah. at least for whatever it's worth, there were some traits of like certain prescription drugs that I guess would, I guess were of some assistance, like Xanax or Percocet. But, you know, like you don't abuse them and you certainly don't take them with alcohol.
Yeah. yeah.
So I just did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I missed that boat.
Yeah.
I got sober in the early 2000s and... Mm-hmm. You told me that when we were eating at Greenblatt's one night about the internet. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I could have died maybe. Because yeah. I had to work. There's this guy named Paul Vato. And he's this fat Mexican dude who, he's a Second City guy. Very talented. Very funny guy. Mm-hmm. But I would have to, he would get, I don't know how he got it. But he would come to my house with like 200 Vicodins.
Oh, he's a dealer.
In a yeah. bag though.
Yeah.
You know what yeah. I mean? And he would just hand it to me. I would give him money. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes he would be on the road. I couldn't get any, so I had to resort to other things. Mm-hmm. But if I would have had the internet, I don't know.
You don't know how to use a computer, though. Thank God for that.
He doesn't.
What do you mean?
We were at Best Buy yesterday, and I said, open a new folder.
Uh-oh.
And he doesn't know, like, basic.
Yeah.
He just iPad and smartphone. You're like Hillary.
Bitch.
She would use those, like, antiquated Blackberries. Right. And she would always have a staff member buy those antiquated Blackberries because she didn't know how to do anything else.
Right, right.
Yeah. Not even, like, a desktop.
Well, that's what the email stuff was about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of her ignorance of technology and stuff, right? So they just kind of went, we'll just... They didn't know. They were doing it innocently.
What is worse, that she is...
I let me just say this. I would be able to fucking figure it out.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you say that I wouldn't be able to figure it out. I would call somebody and go, how do you do it? Or I would go, Duncan, come to my house, get me Vicodin, and he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
God.
God.
She just gets me like, you know what I mean? She provokes me.
You get mad. You get mad. You can't get mad. She's
No, I love her. No,
he's
she's so pretty. You can't get mad.
He only pretends to get mad around people, but he never gets mad.
I've never been mad. I mean, she sometimes says things that are bothersome. I think you do bothersome things, you know?
Wow.
But I swallow.
Like, but we've been together long enough to where it's like everything just.
Like yesterday, I was smoking a cigarette outside.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I put it out.
Mm-hmm.
I blew out the rest of the smoke out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then I walk in the car, and she goes, you're trying to kill me, huh?
That's not
something
what
like
I
that.
Said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did you say then?
That's not what I said. You brought the cigarette in with you, you asshole.
You still brought
it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can't smoke around her.
Oh. Well, you're okay.
I smoke, though.
Now she's defended. That's good.
No, my best friend smokes, but she's so considerate about where she is around me.
Yeah. I will never do that. I'll never do that again. This is my longest relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
I've never been able to do them before.
The long relationship? Why not?
About 2 years, I get, I just cannot get, not bored, but yeah, bored.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there is an excitement, as we've talked about it, Kalila and I, when you meet somebody for the first time and that initial bullshit fantasy shit that you go through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months goes by and you're like, I fucking hate this person, you know?
Oh, no.
But I never had that with her. With Kalila, it's been like, I want to be with her.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and but it's I'm in uncharted territory, really, to be honest with you.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're really not in a relationship.
No, no, I'm not.
You're done.
I think for now. I mean, I enjoy being, you know, I haven't been single since I was 5 years old.
What? What? 5 years old?
I've always had somebody since I was five.
Oh, like, were you talking about your brother then?
No, no, no. I had a boyfriend when I was five. My first boyfriend.
So you did?
His name was Marco. We were together until we were six.
That you had a boyfriend six?
Yeah, and yeah. He moved to New York, or his family moved to New York.
Yeah.
So then I had another boyfriend when I was six. I wasn't cheating on Marco.
Yeah, you had broken up first.
No we overlap.
There was no overlap. Yeah. Yeah. We had broken up. We never really broke up, but he moved. Uh-huh. And so I met a new guy at my school because I had changed, schools.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in kindergarten anymore. Sure. So now I had gone to first grade when I was six and I met Brian. Uh-huh. And he and I would play Batman under the jungle gym. So we had our area where we were. And yeah, so consistently since 5 years old, I've had a relationship going.
So you're saying that you don't know what it's like to be by yourself,
single.
I have never been. I mean, not well since I was single when I was four.
Yeah.
That was
what a wild time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a good 44 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what does that feel like when you're finally, you know?
Oh, it's great. I could sleep in the middle of the bed. Yeah. I inch my body all the way into the middle.
Yeah.
And it's really fun.
She does this thing. It drives me fucking crazy.
I love how he's just going.
I love you.
Go ahead. Just no, it's unload, out of love. Unload.
No, it's not unload. Robbie. But I'm just saying she does this thing where her little fucking jungle toes, right?
Her little, her little
Asian toes. Filipinos, Filipino. Jungle people.
Jungle. Oh. Yeah, jungle. Well, that's...
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
I don't want you to agree with me.
No.
All right?
No.
May I ask you a question, Margaret?
Yeah, of course.
Is the Philippines in the jungle? There is jungle there.
I guess so, yeah.
No, there's no guess.
I don't know.
It's factual. It's a factual thing.
We have jungles.
Yeah.
They have jungles, right?
Yeah.
And there are people.
Uh-huh.
I put them together.
Jungle people.
Jungle people.
The jungle people.
It's not racism. It's a factual thing.
Okay.
In many ways, Eskimos are snow Asians, right? They're from the snow,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's not offensive. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the word jungle that makes people go crazy.
Because you associate it with
Vietnam
probably
War?
Apes and monkeys and things that are just a little bit like wild creatures. And we have a lot of... We're a metropolis. Manila and Cebu are big cities.
They're cities.
There's not a...
I get it.
There's also tree people, though.
Yeah, yeah. There are also tree people. Like, you see that movie, that show Body Bazaar?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yes.
What is that?
I've never seen that.
It's what show? Life?
It's on, I think it's Discovery. On TLC.
No, it's on Discovery.
Oh, it's on Discovery.
And it's people with, like, you know what I mean? They're born with a mutation.
Yeah.
You know, like, weird diseases and stuff?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a guy with his eyes on the back of his head.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he has
wow.
nine legs and he's walking around. Yeah.
There's a woman in China who has her feet completely backwards. So she's had to learn to walk forward with backwards feet.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird. Oh, I think I've seen that with the guy that is, his head is upside down.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That guy's so intense.
That's so intense.
You mean like head, like the
upside
mouth is at the
down.
Top? And
so
whole
his
turn?
Neck bends backwards onto
so he's
his
like,
back.
His
like, when you're doing a limbo, but an overstretched like limbo.
Oh, shit.
So his head is like, so his neck is like the top of his head.
Yeah.
Oh. And his head is in the back. Like, it's very intense.
And then I get suicidal because I have a bad audition.
Oh, you'll tell me about this earlier.
You know,
today.
Like, I.
Yeah, no,
you
know, I know.
I'm watching that show last night it. Going.
Yeah.
What am I? Look at this. Look at. I can do this.
Yeah.
Jazz fingers.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
that lady in Thailand. She has elephantitis of the arms.
So uh-huh.
She can't do this.
No, she can't.
Yeah.
She can't.
And she sells candy on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Like, of all the professions,
yeah.
When you have, like, the largest hands in the world, maybe not sell, like, the tiniest little candy.
Oh, that's, man. It's got to be hard.
Yeah. Like, sell, like, mammoth tusks.
Yeah, something.
Rhino horns.
You know, something that fits the arms, really, yeah. to be honest with you. Is that rude?
No.
No, I don't. I don't
think we should do that more as people compare ourselves. Like, we've got it good, right?
We've got it pretty good. I mean, even compared to, like, Koreans in Koreatown. Like, we don't have to work. We don't have to work in a store of any kind.
Yeah. But I want to make the that argument.
What?
Let me just make the argument.
Yeah.
Is that, because people say that a lot, like, you're lucky. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to have, you don't have a day job, and you don't have to, you know, work, dig holes. But it's like,
who digs holes for a job?
Whatever. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what job, what
hole digger.
What do construction people do? They dig holes.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But also, as Margaret knows, and I'm not, I'm just saying that, yeah, it's not as if I won this job in a lottery. You know, I signed up. I went through years of struggling. Just, I just want to throw that out there, you know? Yeah. I mean, but also I don't do enough of me going, I should just be grateful that I can breathe and I can see and I can hear.
Yeah. We should be grateful for those things. Oh, well, that we don't have to work in a piano store in Koreatown.
Are those the worst?
Yeah. That's the worst, the piano store, because there's so many piano stores, so you could be really aggressive about, you know, your pianos.
It's a niche.
And they're all the same.
Yeah.
Also a wig store.
Oh,
wigs, a lot of Korean wigs.
I was born in a wig store.
Oh, yeah?
Wait, what?
Okay.
Yeah, my I was born inside literally a wig store.
Yeah.
And my cradle, is that what they call them?
Cradle, crib?
Crib.
I call it cradle.
The cradle.
Because of the lullabies.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
okay,
what I mean? From the old lullabies. And my cradle was in the mannequin storage room.
Not creepy.
Oh, my God.
But the broken ones.
Not creepy.
Oh,
right?
That's so creepy.
So there was like 50 like mannequins staring down at me, right? And I'm a little baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's maybe why you're scared of white people.
That's great.
White man over you the whole time.
Maybe that's right.
That's
right. You're so scared, man.
That's why I'm so scared of George all the time.
And Bryce.
And Bryce all the time.
This guy's like, guys. Hello, Bobby.
Yeah. I'm intimidated by white people because of that experience. But, and then I saw, were your parents violent or strict in that way?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. But then they were also pretty busy, so they were more abandoning than they were, you know, because they were never around, because there was always working to be done. When my generation, we never had babysitters, so I remember just being alone in a house, and I was like 5 years old, which is so crazy to think about now.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that.
But I was just like by myself.
Oh my God!
Using the stove and shit.
They owned a.
But you had a boyfriend, so
I had a boyfriend.
Yeah. 7 years.
But they also owned. What was it? Porn?
They had a gay bookstore which had porn in it, but only gay porn, no straight porn.
Oh, gay bookstore.
So it was all gay, gay erotic novels, a lot of Tama Finland picture books and photography books, and so there was a lot of. Really like confused my mom, like looking at these. You know how that Korean noise they would make?
It was
hot, like physically hot, like it burned her.
How did two Koreans choose that? How did they choose that over everything else?
I don't know, but it's like it's like when Filipinos point at things with their lips.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah,
you guys go.
We go.
Yeah. They do a lot of that. Oh my. Oh yeah. Yeah.
죽겠어.
The worst one they said, 죽어버릴게야.
What is that?
죽어버릴게야, which means I'm gonna kill you then throw you away.
Yeah, 죽어버릴게야.
Throw you away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I understood what that meant, and I'm like, isn't that kill child you abuse?
Yeah.
Throw you away.
Not just
kill you and throw you away.
Dispose of your body.
Dispose of the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, just kill me. You know what I mean?
Throw me away.
Yeah, but they want to hide the body so they don't go to prison.
Because they're smart. They're fucking smart.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I talked about this on a podcast once. When, like, your parents, your Korean parents, meet, like, your friend and they dismiss them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, hey, this is Charlie. Okay. He's a good, okay. You know, they don't even want to lock eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, acknowledge them as a human being.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so weird. But so they had, is that why? Because you have a huge LGBT Is that what, I mean, because you talk about that in your act?
Yeah, and I'm also bisexual, so that there's also that, there's a lot of that I brought into, which is great about growing up in the gay community, because I knew where I fit in. Mm. But also, like, my very early material was about growing up in that gay bookstore and being around that and talking about gay stuff, which in the 90s wasn't really very popular for comedians. You certainly didn't see a lot of that.
Also, seeing an Asian American woman doing it was so groundbreaking.
I mean, even for me, I went to go see you, your taping for your special in the Long Beach Convention Center.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I think that was in 2008.
Probably 2008, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and listening, I had brought my best friend Jessica with me, who had never seen you do stand up before, and she's a Korean girl. And she left there and she was never the same. Like, she thought that she was allowed to just fuck just about everybody that she ever met. Cause she's always kind of been, like, you know, sexually more like conservative and whatnot. And you see an Asian woman talk about it so freely, and it kind of just opens you up in a different way, especially for her and I being, you know, just young 20 something Asians. We're always told to kind of be mums, the word, when it comes to, like, your sexuality.
Of course.
And it just broke us open, like, seismically too, when we became whores in our 20s. You know, and it was really...
You make Kalila a whore.
But I love you.
But in a really nice way.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Whores.
I think that's great. Yes, I think it's great to be free and to feel good about it. You know?
Would that make... Because I've had gay experiences, would that make me a bisexual or not?
Maybe.
Only if you wanted to continue.
But I don't want to.
Then no.
Then no.
I don't want to.
Then yeah.
I mean, I admit to the ones that I've done. You know what I mean? I have no anal. You know what I mean? But I've sucked... No, I haven't. But I've sucked a lot of pee-pees. But before... Before the, why are you looking at me like that? All right, don't look at me that way. Before I was the age of 12, 13.
That doesn't count.
There, thank you.
It doesn't.
I'm heterosexual. No.
We talked about it.
Well, he's lying. This whole time I knew. It actually went up to like 17, 18, according to your brother.
No, my brother fucking doesn't know. How could I? First of all, I was 17 when I got sober the first time, and I stayed sober for 12 years. I didn't do it. Every time I would have...
judging. I mean, if you did, it's fine. I don't care.
It's fine. I don't, you know.
It has no bearing on how I feel about you.
I know.
Aww.
I'll just ask.
It's nice.
You can take as much dick as you want, babe.
Yeah, okay.
I'm cool.
What's your voice? I'm fine.
Jesus.
But you know what? When you were talking, I was thinking, you see shows now like Fresh Off the Boat, Ken's show. That's to me not my experience. There isn't a show that shows, like, because the Asians I hang out with, these ones, I have hundreds of other ones. David Cho's a good friend. My brother's one, you know. And we're more this. You know, our experiences.
Yeah.
We need to get something on the air.
Yeah.
That shows that.
I would think that, you know, it should happen. I mean, it should have happened by now, but we should do it. I mean, there's definitely a rebellious streak in people like yourself and me and of course David, and we don't see that yet. You know, somebody that's just really, you have to be such a rebel to break out of the culture that we come from. You know, and even David, like, I saw his documentary. I was shocked at how much deference he had for his family, and how much of a sort of a church boy, like a Moksanim's boy, he is too. But and to be so incredibly bold and driven and different and really irreverent as he is.
But that's been my experiences with Koreans, though. But maybe, you know, I just have a specific kind of experience because I'm in show business or whatnot, and these are the kind of Koreans I meet. But generally, even before I did comedy, the minorities that I would meet were more my type.
So you're saying that we're the jungle Asians.
Full circle.
We're the actual ones from the jungle. The Guns N' Roses jungle.
Yeah.
Not the literal.
But I want to say something right now, and this really made me mad. Can I lean forward?
Yeah.
I've been close to you before.
Yeah. Okay. You can lean.
Is Thursday, I was reading for auditioning for a movie. Uh-huh. It was a stoner movie. Oh. Uh-huh. And it was 5 lines.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And of course I'm going to read for that movie because I really got nothing else going on, really, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people know who I am, but I'm a stand-up and I want to work, and you know, so I'm sitting there with these 5 lines and they're okay lines, and a kid walks in who's auditioning for the same part. It was Steven Yeun. Now, I looked at him and I go, after your audition, I'm going to yell at you outside.
Uh-huh.
So I took Steven Yeun out there. I didn't yell at him, but I went, how do you not get an offer?
I know. Steven Yeun. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's in the
hottest commodity.
Hottest show right now. Yeah.
He's in a cultural
show. He's so cool.
Show. He's, I love him. I love him too. I love him. And he goes, dude, I got to read.
Yeah, we all have to read.
Yeah, but if that was a white dude,
yeah, yeah,
let's be real.
He would not have to deal with that kind of shit.
He would not have to read.
No,
for 5 lines.
No, it's true.
It would have been an offer. What, he wants to do this movie? 5 lines.
Yeah,
yeah.
Offer to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had to sign up, wait in line, yeah. And I find it to be fucking crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
You know, it's like I can understand if it was me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I had a point where I was hot 10, 12 years ago. You know, I do the road, I draw, it's fine. I know where I'm at. I'm not complaining. I love where I'm at. I have a great podcast. I have you. Margaret's here. I love my life. But I know where I'm at in terms of, you know, real, like, movies and showbiz and all that stuff, right? Him, I love him, and he's a cultural, but he's like that guy from Breaking Bad. What's his name?
Aaron Paul.
Yeah,
Aaron Paul.
Exactly.
Aaron Paul, Breaking Bad.
Exactly.
Lead in movies, lead in a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did come out the same level. Yeah,
they're both the same thing.
They came out the same level.
Yeah. I guarantee you right now that Aaron Paul would not audition for 5 lines.
Of course not.
They hand it to him.
Of course not. Of course they would hand it to him. And I mean, it's, you know, to not think of this as a racist business. It's just, of course it is. It is. And the truth is that, you know, we have to read. We have to go in for things, and it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's shocking, especially for somebody like him.
Yeah. I
can't believe that.
I can't believe it either.
If you guys have to read, I mean, shit, it makes me look like my path's almost impossible.
You're never gonna
I am now. I don't think I am. If you guys are fucking reading,
you're fucked.
You're up down there.
I mean, no, I want you to keep going. This kid right here, found him, but he is so talented. He's from Second City in Chicago.
Awesome.
And he's very talented. But
it's fucking hard enough. You guys are really, shit.
Well, it's also, yeah, go ahead.
You know, but it's also that there are fewer roles for Asian Americans. Mm. That's the other part of it too. And so you're constantly battling people's ideas of what we can do. You know, and it's like we have to try to expand it. That's why it's always better to just write your own projects and create your own work and just do stand-up comedy and do different things. It's hard. It's really hard.
Mm. Here's another thing that pissed me off about the audition.
What?
You know how you get so anyone listening, when you get an audition, you get a sheet. It says where it is at, who the director is, all that fucking bullshit,
casting,
right? But there's always sometimes, every once in a while, there's like a little specific note for you, for me. So, attention, Bobby, no accent.
Why is it to you?
I don't know, but they were this audition wasn't for an Asian guy. So they had to specifically tell me that I don't have to do an accent.
As if
I was going to come in there and go, hello, everybody.
I'm a stoner. I'm so high.
You know, they had to specifically give me a note.
That seems racist to me.
You hate doing accents.
I know.
It's pretty racist to me.
But to read it on the thing and it specifically say no accent.
It's crazy.
Made me think that they thought that I was going to go in there and just like Getty Watanabe it, you know? That's, I love Getty Watanabe.
I do too.
I love him. He's a sweet guy. I don't know why I just said that.
No, because of the legacy of Long Duk Dong.
Yes, that's why.
The thing about it is he's really funny.
I love him.
I think he's great.
He's a nice guy too.
He's a really nice guy. But the fact is that we're not given roles that are worthy of us. We are constantly having to sort of wade through and do whatever we can.
When there is a role
that's
supposed to be for an Asian person, they change it to a white person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did that with 21.
They did that. Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
So she, Doctor Strange, yeah.
Ghost in the Shell.
Contacted me.
Tilda Swinton contacted you?
Yeah.
This is, it was Mrs. Swan, you know, Alex?
Yeah, Alex Borstein, yeah.
Alex Borstein. She hooked us up, which is the most ironic.
What do you mean she hooked you up? Like?
She hooked
so Alex
Swan
Borstein, right, was, anyone knows, was on Mad TV, right?
She did play Miss Swan.
She's a white girl, right? So she does it. To me, Miss Swan was hilarious.
I think it's hilarious.
Funny to me. Funny I like it.
Too, I think it's hilarious. Yeah. So she said, is it cool if I give Tilda your number because she wants to talk to you?
Oh, my God.
And I go, okay. All right. And Tilda emailed and eventually emailed me, and she said that she didn't understand why people were so mad about Doctor Strange, and she wanted to talk about it, you know, and wanted to get my take on why all the Asian people were mad, and long conversation, and it was so weird, you know, and I was like, you know, could you please tell them not to be so? I'm like, bitch, I can't tell
them. You are the president of all Asians.
Yeah. Well, you are.
You are.
You are the president, American division.
But it was like, I don't have a yellow phone under a cake dome. Hero?
Don't be mad.
Don't be mad.
It's just Tilda.
It's just Tilda. Yeah.
We should, though, have that. There should be a yellow phone.
Oh, yeah, representing Margaret.
It should go to Margaret's house.
And a cake dome.
Yeah, I'm nominating her.
Yeah, let's do it right now.
And I think everyone was hands down. You're the person.
Should we call Cape?
Yeah, we're going to call Cape.
Let's call Cape
right now.
But we had a long discussion, and she also wanted me not to tell anybody, so don't tell anybody.
I won't tell anybody, I promise.
She said, don't tell anybody.
Yes.
And then but it was a long, like, kind of a fight about why the part should not have gone to her. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The part should not have gone to her. And we had a fight about it. And basically, it ended with her saying, well, I'm producing a movie with Steven Yeun starring.
Oh, I have a black friend. I can do this.
Yeah. Like, see, I'm producing
I'm paying my dues for your for the Asians, so therefore I can be them.
Yeah. But at least she's producing a film with him in it.
She was good in it, too.
I also...
Sucks.
Does he have to read for it?
Yeah.
Five lines.
He has five lines.
He had to read.
Don't sing a film for Steve.
He had to read. She ended up playing the part.
Hey, Steven, I'm going to do this now.
But it was weird because it was like I felt like, you know, one of the, not like a, like a house Asian.
Right.
You know, like I'm like her servant. You know, like the ones when they have like a, you know, like whatever in the Raj or whatever, they would have like the house servant, sort of your confidant.
Mm. Yeah.
In all those Merchant Ivory movies and stuff that happened like in India, there was always like the sort of servant that was close to you. And that's sort of what I felt like. Like I was following her with an umbrella, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was a weird, I had a weird feeling about the entire exchange, especially the part of don't tell anybody.
It's also this, as when you told me about that, we didn't get into a deep discussion about it, but you mentioned it and I go, oh, they're friends.
Yeah.
But now it's not that.
No.
It's just you didn't know. I just made an assumption that you guys knew each other.
No, I didn't know her. And in fact, only knew her from Alex, Mrs. Swan.
Mrs. Swan. Oh, yeah. My God.
The other Asian.
The other.
Yeah.
Well, non-Asian Asian.
Speaking of Mrs. Swan, the reason why I got Mad TV was because Mrs. Swan was leaving. Alex was leaving Mad TV, right? So they were like, we need, you know, maybe try an Asian.
Right? Let's try to
get a real Asian.
This might sound crazy, but bring a real Asian.
So 4 months into me doing, being on the show, which was terrible when I was first on it. It was terrible. But I get a call from Fox and they said, can you do Miss Swan?
Play that.
And I go, no, I will not.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I won't do that. And they were like, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not my character.
Yeah.
And also, that's not what I do.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? But just the idea
that
they were like, you know, he's Asian. You know what I mean? And we own the rights to the character.
Yeah.
It's like insane.
It's just crazy.
So do
That's
you
crazy.
Sit with all of this, you know, lack of rules for Asians, do you sit idly by or do you get loud and angry? Like, what is the right, what is the recourse for, like, at this point, do you, I mean, there's only a handful, if mm-hmm. you really think about it, of mm-hmm. people or voices for the Asian community that are going to really say it out loud or are bold enough to say it out loud. And you always worry about how is that going to affect your career in the long run, because you don't think that, you know, being angry is the right route.
Well, I know that Stephen Park wrote a mission statement. Mm-hmm. Did we ever read it? Mm-mm. You know Stephen Park?
Oh, yeah, of
yeah,
course.
I love
of
Stephen.
Course, yeah.
Apparently, he wrote a mission statement and sent a letter out to agents and producers and whatnot mm-hmm. about the plight of the Asian actor. Mm-hmm. And he was thrown out of L.A. Mm.
What That's year was crazy. This?
That he remember he moved to New York.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. With what's her name? His wife. She's a great girl. She was on *In Living Color* too. That white chick. Anyway, he had kids with her. Mm-hmm. But he left L.A. for years, and he came back. Mm-hmm. But that's why I haven't been vocal, because when I found out that he got thrown out, like he couldn't get auditions.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that I was afraid. To say anything, you know. Yeah. Now that I'm not working really that much, I
might say all the shit.
Well,
you
would know. It's yeah. about being funny about it too, which is so great.
Yeah,
which you take it and talk about it in your stand-up.
Yeah, I do.
And you
yeah,
make
yeah,
it
yeah.
really funny.
Yeah,
that's the right, I think, course of action, because you could just make it mm. part of your work, and that's hilarious. And then also it gets the point across.
Also, I'm not that angry. Mm-hmm. Here's my point of view: is that I'm it hurts a little bit. You know, it's racism. I think it's racism. Mm-hmm. But because I've made a living, maybe, I haven't felt the real, you know, I feel more bad for younger Asian kids, mm-hmm. right, that, you know, want to make a name for themselves. And it's just harder. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I've did a couple of hurdles over it. You know, Margaret first set them up. She jumped over. I jumped over a couple, right? And I feel like it's getting a little better. Even yeah. though all these things are happening,
yeah.
you still have Steven Yeun. You still mm-hmm. have Fresh Off the Boat is a popular
Randall
show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a network show. Randall's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Ken, it's an Asian show. So these are things that are obviously new. Mm-hmm. So I guess in that way, I'm not furious over it.
And it's getting better. And certainly what's great is that we have stand-up comedy,
yeah.
which is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
you can do whatever you want. And it's incredibly gratifying. You make a good living. And I'm just really pleased that I started off doing comedy, you know?
That's it right there.
That's the best.
That's the fucking shit right there, man, what you just said.
Shit, was that her?
I'm going to fucking hit you in the fucking face. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, the other night, I mean, a month ago, the lineup was me, you, Ali Wong, and Steve Byrne.
Yeah.
On the same lineup.
That's
so
cool.
It wasn't an Asian night.
No.
It was sold out. Like, other comics were on it. Mm-hmm. But we were, like, in the meat of the show, the
yeah.
lineup. And
yeah.
that for ask any comic that was Asian, like Jackson Purdue, who's not really that Asian, but you know what I mean? You know
yeah,
Jackson?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that would have happened back then or in the
no.
80s. No.
No, no. This was the first and also kind of a very casual, not big deal. It wasn't an Asian show. We just happened to be there. And
yeah.
I mean, it's so great. And Ali is so fantastic
oh
and so
God.
Funny.
Amazing.
And it's such a funny, funny lineup.
Yeah.
You know, really, really awesome.
Yeah, and they're all... in their own way, strong comics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, you know, back in the 80s, I'm not going to name names, but I know that there were regulars at the store that were Asian. They would just put them up just because of the color of their skin because they wanted to try to diversify
mm-hmm.
the lineup, but the person
sucked.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to name any names.
But you're looking at me like I know the name. Okay.
I want to, but I'm not going to.
We will not do that. We will not do that.
And this was not that. This was... Mm-hmm. people that were like, oh no, these are the best people that called in.
Yeah, these are great comics.
Yeah,
they're really great
put them
comics.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, but that other stuff, hopefully it changes.
I think so. I think that also people will look at what you're doing in like what Allie's doing, and it ignites a whole nother generation of people who are very excited about comedy, and they want to go into comedy. They don't want to think about acting. They want not thinking about anything else. They just want to do stand-up comedy. That's really cool.
Yeah. I do every once in a while will have an Asian kid go, you know, I'm doing it because, you know, I saw you, whatever.
Yeah.
And you go, really?
Yeah.
But
it's great.
It is, you know, a reality, you know. I'm not getting my head out of proportion.
What do you mean?
I'm not getting ego right now.
What, did I give you a look?
No, I just don't want, she doesn't like it when I'm Miwo. You know what Miwo? You know Miwo.
Miwo?
Yeah.
Miwo.
Yeah, when I'm like.
He thinks, when he has moments where he thinks he's a Korean Elvis.
Oh, you're better. You're better. You're much better than Elvis.
No, but every once in a while, sometimes I'm in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll, you know what I mean?
Shout your name out?
And then I'll give her winks. Like, if I take some photos, and I'll give her winks. And it drives her crazy.
Aww.
You know what I mean? I go, I'm killing it right now, right?
Yeah. You're always killing it, but you're better than Elvis.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I just want to ask about this next thing. Did you date Tarantino? You did, right? Yeah.
Oh.
He's come by the Comedy Store too.
Yeah, I know he has. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
I've met him. I love him. Yeah, I love he's my him. Favorite director.
He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that.
Yeah,
I mean, ask her that first scene in Inglourious Basterds between Christoph Waltz, and that the family farmer.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's so good.
It's so great.
I could watch it a million times. Yeah. You know,
he's a great director.
He's great. But that was when you were on American Girl, which I also want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Was that must have been a crazy time for you. I mean, you're young.
Yeah, I was super young. I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, it's good. I mean, we had a really hard time. You know, it was a hard show to do.
Why?
There was a lot of... it was the first time you had seen Koreans in entertainment after the L.A. riots. The L.A. riots was a very big deal for Koreans. And so Koreans were very paranoid about their image. And so there was like all of this alarm about it. And all the Moksanims and everybody, they were like really concerned about how they would look. And they didn't like me because I was a stand-up comedian. I wasn't a man. I was very dirty. I was talking about gay stuff. So I was not the kind of image that they wanted to promote.
Right.
And then the show was on such a very big, you know, it was on a very big platform because at that time there was only four networks.
What network was this on?
This was on ABC.
Oh, shit.
So it was a very, very big deal. And so the Korean community felt like very invested from the start, you know. And then one of the problems was we didn't have all Korean actors, which was very hard to do. You know, we sort of tried to do that. But
let me say this
you
right now.
Audition for it?
Yeah. No, I wasn't even doing comedy at the time. But I've tried to cast... Like, I had a deal at Comedy Central. I had my own show. I tried to cast my mom and dad. We couldn't find anybody.
It's really hard.
It's really hard. Clyde, right?
Clyde Kasatsu.
Yeah, I love him.
He's great.
He's great, right? Clyde was the dad.
Yeah, Clyde was the dad.
Super talented.
He's really talented. He was on, he's actually had a very, very long storied career. He was on, like, Hawaii Five-O and Quincy.
Yeah.
And he's in a great action movie called The Choir Boys. He's in a lot of like 70s action films, like really.
He was also in Star Trek and some shit I love. Yeah,
Lots of great shit.
Yeah,
really, really great. And Jodie Long was a mom. Amy Hill was the grandmother.
Love her.
She's so
great.
I love Amy.
She's Filipino though, right?
She's half Japanese and half Finnish.
Oh.
That's how you get a Filipino.
Is that the concoction?
That's the concoction. Me and Kalila.
Spanish.
Interesting.
You're right. Spanish.
We had B.D. Wong.
B.D.
And so...
So there was only one
was
real Korean in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that was a big problem. But then we really couldn't cast any Korean actors because they were all already working on other stuff.
Right.
Or they weren't in the right age range we were looking.
Sure.
And so it was very difficult.
Oh my God, I can only imagine.
Everybody else, that all the Korean actors were either like... very serious theater actors who had never done comedy. There were no comedians, so it was just.
If you were to do it now, oh my God, you would be able to cast it right away. Yeah,
you could cast a lot.
I think you would be able to do it.
I think so for sure. But back then, it was really very, very hard.
So you had that against you.
Yeah.
People were like freaking out about that.
It was freaking out about that. And then we had a kind of a weird mixed bag of writers, one of which turned out to be a murderer.
Oh,
one of the writers ended up killing his wife.
What?
It was super weird.
That's why the show did not work out.
He killed his wife and put her body in the closet until it had mummified.
Oh.
And so we just didn't have the best writers.
And he was our showrunner.
He was really talented, though, right? He must have been talented.
It was super weird. The other show that he went to work on was the Bill Cosby Show, the second one. Not the first Cosby show. But the next one.
Yeah. So he did it not during your show, but during Cosby era.
Yeah, right. During the Cosby era.
You're right.
He killed his wife. So, Jesus. But that was just sort of the caliber of people we were working with.
Yeah.
And it was just very strange.
Yeah.
It was very, very strange.
And also, did they make you lose weight, right?
Yeah, they were alarmed at how fat I was, which I actually looked back and I actually wasn't.
You weren't.
No, I wasn't. But it was that I wasn't television thin. And they were already so invested in this idea of like the kind of Asian woman that's like hot to.
Oh. Mm.
I just fucking.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
It's crazy.
You got it. Now it's changed. I mean, like when Krista Alonso, what's her name?
Christella
Alonso.
Yeah.
Got her show.
Yeah.
I mean, she's always looked like that, you know?
And she's great.
Yeah, she's great.
Really funny.
I love her.
Yeah.
Super funny, but they didn't force her to lose weight.
No, of
course
not.
It seems like an absurd thing to ask now.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is, yeah.
But I think that it still happens to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, in television for sure. And in film, of course.
If it's like an NCIS, you know, Louisiana or something, and some girl is supposed to be like a detective, maybe.
Yeah.
In an action situation. But in a comedy, no.
No, no, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy. But so I was just distracted by that. And I remember like getting very sick. I was dating Garrett Wang, who was Sulu from Next Generation.
Oh, right.
You know Garrett,
Yeah.
Dated Sulu?
Yeah.
Damn.
Not the first Sulu, but he's
gay.
Still,
yeah,
second
Sulu.
You dated Sulu. You dated George Takei.
I worked a lot with George. I still work with George sometimes. But no, I dated Garrett. So I remember I lost so much weight in such a fast period of time that I was urinating blood.
Oh, God.
Oh no.
And it was like horrible. And like Garrett, I was like screaming at Garrett to do something. I don't know what he could do. Let's go into, you know, hyperspace. Yeah.
So you basically went into like renal failure.
Yeah.
What were you doing to diet? Just not eating?
I was not eating. I was doing a lot of fen-phen at the time, which is a drug that has a upper and a downer component. It's illegal now because it's just caused a lot of people heart failure. But it you just didn't eat food.
Fuck.
It was really bad. And that could probably been the very early part of my drug addiction.
Yeah.
Was to that drug and having to really control my body. You know, it was I just was terrified of losing the show, so I just did whatever I could to lose weight. And then that drug was out, and then the studios, you could get those drugs right by, because Disney was right by all these sort of crooked doctors row, and so I would go there, and a lot of the like different shows would go over. They would send PAs down there to pick up drugs.
Wow. Like,
oh my God.
For your show.
Just PAs would do that shit?
Yeah,
so
they would go pick up
ways,
drugs.
In many ways, so it was like the producers and people all knowing. Is that what you're saying?
They wouldn't know necessarily, but you could get...
You can get a PA to go make a run.
Yeah. And, you know,
because
I was having all this trouble losing weight, and it was the wardrobe people who let me know, there's this doctor down here who can help you out. And so, because I was struggling to get into these clothes that were so tiny. And then also the fashion in the 90s was for women to be incredibly thin.
Yeah, not forgiving at all.
No, so that was part of that was the era of that as well.
Did you have a bad relationship or a good relationship with Gail Berman?
Who's Gail Berman?
I had a good relationship with her.
She was the executive producer.
I felt bad for her because she was the one who had to tell me that I was fat. She didn't want to do it.
Oh, I bet she would. Yeah.
She didn't want to do it.
She's not skinny.
No, and she was so upset.
Shots fired by Bobby Lee.
She was so upset. And I feel bad because it's not really her fault. She was just a messenger.
Yeah.
You know, and I never really got to make that right with her. I haven't seen her. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But she's great.
Yeah. I mean, she was the president of Fox when I was on Mad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was
yeah. Okay. She was the one where, okay, so that girl that I brought to the upfront.
Remind us comedian. A story.
So I met this girl. She wanted to be a comedian, but she had never done stand-up before. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have sex with her, but she didn't. She wasn't attracted to me physically, but she was using me to go to fucking New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right.
Yeah, right. Know, so yeah. She's like, I want to make it, you know? And the first night we were there, I tried to make a move.
Yeah.
She's like, I just want to be friends. So now I have this girl in my hotel room for 2 days at the upfront. Mm-hmm. So we have this gigantic dinner at, you know, some fucking gala thing. And all the Kiefer Sutherland, everyone's there, right? Yeah. Because they're all on Fox shows. So we all have tables. And I don't know where she is. Like, I look over to my left, and I see her from across the fucking banquet hall.
Yeah.
She's giving her fucking business card to Gail Berman.
Gross. No. Gross. Oh my God.
Going,
gross,
I'm a comedian, right? Oh my God. And I, you know, my brother's rage.
Yeah.
You had rage.
Oh my, I fucking grabbed her wrist. Come here. I'm sorry, Gail. Come here. You know what I mean? And I fucking dragged her back like an animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I go, if you, no, babe, you don't fucking.
The president of Fox?
You don't. That's not how you make it. Mm-hmm. You don't go to the president of Fox and try to eat dinner and give her a fucking business card.
Headshot would have been worse. God.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, my God.
Oh,
my
God. Oh, she would have died.
You would have killed her.
No, I would have taken a fuck. And I would have killed her. I would have been dead.
You should have just completely disassociated. Okay, I don't know that girl. You didn't have to. Now you.
Oh, and she can't go. What table is she at? Oh, she's at the Mad TV table. With who? Bobby Lee. I'm fucked.
Also, they're just friends. He's not fucking her. They're just friends. He's not even fucking her.
He's in the friend zone. Oh my God. It was a disaster. Anyway, that's how I know Gail. And I know that she was your executive producer.
Yeah, Gail.
Nice lady.
Is a nice lady. And my friend, you know. And I haven't seen her, but I think she's great.
She's great, yeah.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something right now. You know how I met Margaret?
No.
Do you remember that. How?
How did we meet? I thought it was a comedy show.
This is what happened.
Uh-oh. What happened?
So there used to be a night on Tuesday nights on Sunset Boulevard called Dublin's. And they did comedy night. And it was the hottest comedy night.
Oh, is that where Dane Cook used to?
Yeah, Dane Cook. And when Dane was on fire. And I was a regular, so I get to go up. Mm-hmm. And you showed up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I just wanted to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember collapsing onto the pavement, onto my knees.
Yeah.
And I went, oh my God, what are you doing here? Like, I never thought that I would like run into in that way. Yeah. I always thought, you know, maybe we'll get a job together. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But that's how. And then you invited me to your house one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice. And then here's what made me just completely be in awe of her. She invited me to your show in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I do stand up, I do clubs. Mm-hmm. Tops, you know, Irvine's probably the top, which is 500 seats.
Yeah.
She sold out 5,000 people in a fucking thing.
Yeah.
It was a thing, right? And I remember waiting. I mean, I got free tickets. You got me in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have connections. But, like, I remember, like, waiting and, like, going into the thing going, oh, my God, this is so powerful. Like, I don't know if I'll ever do that. But she did it. You know what I mean? That's how much she's killed it, you know? Do we have a question? What are we at time?
We're 53.
Abrupt, yeah. But
well,
okay.
Can I ask her what did you think of Bobby when you first met him? Like, why did you want to go see the show? Like, from
well, I had been a fan from TV, and then I knew that you were really funny. I knew that there was like so much that I was excited to see, and then I was like, oh well, I have to see you do stand-up. So I was excited to meet you, and I wanted to come and meet you.
Oh,
crazy!
crazy. I love your bodyguard.
Yeah. Is that your bodyguard? That's awesome.
We were in a.
Oh, it's amazing.
We were in
He's
San.
Like, no.
We were in San Diego a week and a half ago, and we were at a taco shop, and Bobby was sitting down, and I was ordering at the counter, and a girl excitedly hurried over to me, and she whispers in my ear, "That's Steve Aoki, right?"
Oh, my God.
That's a compliment, though.
And I said, "Yeah, go say hi to him."
Oh, my God.
What did she say to you when she came up?
They were looking at me, so yeah. I thought. Because I walked into this taco place. Like, yeah, they know. And then they had left and ran into her, and they were talking outside. I could see. And then she laughed. I could see her laugh outside the window.
That's the best thing.
Right? And then she came in. She goes, "You can't believe what just happened. They thought you were Steve Aoki." If Steve Aoki, like, was like ate 1,000 donuts,
it's like right? Different body types.
And then got like a piano fell on his head, right? And he, you know what I mean? He got compacted into a
Bobby Lee.
I mean, I look nothing like Steve Aoki.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I don't really know what he looks like.
He's very svelte.
Yeah,
he's very thin, skinny. Yeah. Very skinny.
Prince of Vegas.
Do you ever get people ever say that they think you're somebody else or no?
Are you Tilda Swinton?
Yeah,
you're so good at Doctor Strange.
So good. No, they think I went to high school with them. They're like, "Oh, do I know
my one Asian friend in high school?"
Yeah.
Roger Chang.
You know, like yeah. Very they think I'm somebody they know.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you say? Do you say yeah or
I go, "I don't know." I go, "No. I didn't go to that school."
Fuck yeah, off. Yeah, yeah.
No, I just go, "No, I didn't go to that school."
But I always sometimes want to go, "No, I'm a comedian."
What do you mean? Like, oh, just straight up tell them who
yeah,
you are?
Yeah, but then I don't because it's weird.
That's when it gets weird, and I don't like when you do this. We're like, "Where have I seen you?" Like, and they keep digging and digging, and he's reluctant to answer, but finally he gives them his credits, and it's like, ooh.
He pulls up his
IMDb.
He went
off the deep end there. He's like, look, it's me, and he Googles himself.
This is me. Bitch, I never fucking Google myself. But I have done this where you go, they go, "What? How do I know you?" And then I go, "Oh." And I keep throwing things out.
Yeah.
They go, "No, no, no." And then you never get to a, like, you know.
Something they know.
They know. And then it's like, "Well, I guess I don't know you." Oh. And then it because this weird like, bye.
Yeah. So awkward.
So awkward. Like, I wish I didn't do that, you know. So at the end of our episodes, we have a email that they ask us questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
On helpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and Tilda Swinton's best friend.
"Hi, I listen to your show every week. I recently moved to UK. I'm now engaged and married to an English guy. We have only been dating for 9 months and getting married in March, and his family freaked out and thought it was too soon. They decided to do a Google search and found out I used to be a webcam model, and now they disown their son and want nothing to do with both of us. I feel bad because he's always been the perfect boy honor student, best university, and great job. Please help, from Lila." So I guess trying to win the parents' affection.
Oh.
If they're not happy that she's a webcam model. And
she was one, right?
She was
one. They Googled her, yeah.
Why would they?
Why would that matter?
Yeah.
If she's making money, obviously
yeah.
She's...
It's also not porn.
Mm-hmm. No.
Porn's fine.
I think porn is fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's not porn.
No.
It's her naked, like, in front of a camera, wanting to make up. Dude, let me tell you something right now. If I was a female and I was hot, that's all I'd be doing. I'd have a fucking just a camera on my vagina the whole time. Dollar bills, just bing, ching, yeah. Ching. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck. But
she tell her parents? Like, yeah.
Which?
Like her,
I mean, what?
Her boyfriend's parents.
Boyfriend, how did you confront that? Like, "I love you. What are you?"
I think that she should stand her ground, and I don't think that she should waver and be apologetic about what she does. I think that's right. Only going to put her in a, you know what I mean? Like, she does what she does for a living, mm-hmm. for money. She's a good girl. She's a good person. The guy loves her. There's nothing else to it but
yeah.
that. And if the parents are too concerned to tarnish their image, they can go fuck themselves.
And if they're willing to lose a son and a daughter-in-law from it, that's a kind of family that you don't want to impart in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that would be reasons to leave the family. Mm. That's horrible.
That's my gut. It's to cut ties.
Cut ties. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just get out of the
Because there's obviously nothing
because that's
she
just
can
the
do.
Beginning.
Yeah.
What's she going to do? Go to med school and try to prove him wrong?
Right.
No. Yeah, no.
Right.
It's also if they're that, you know, like like that picky and that like it's weird upfront, yeah. judgmental in that yeah. way.
You don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's going to get worse later.
Yep. Yeah, way worse.
Yeah.
So break up with her boyfriend? Is that what you guys are telling this woman? With his fiance? With her fiance?
No, I think that he should probably just stand firm up, yeah. and man up and say, hey, this is the woman I love. And
that's
if you
what,
guys
that's
don't
what
accept
it is. That's
her,
what
yeah,
the,
I'm
bro,
sorry.
That's the real
tell
answer.
Tell your boyfriend
right
to man up.
Yeah, man
defend.
Up.
You got to defend.
Defend. Yeah, absolutely.
Because if my mom, let me tell you something right now. When Barack Obama ran the first time, mm-hmm. I told them to vote for Obama. They're Republicans. Mm-hmm. I go, vote for them. Mm-hmm. Barack. I think, okay. Like my parents.
Just say yes then.
Yeah, I have my parents on lockdown. If my parents ever said anything about Kalilah, they know that they'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're not going to tell me.
But your parents are also very reasonable people.
They know.
They're not reasonable. No. I have a leash.
I train them.
You have to.
You train them.
You have
them.
To.
Yes.
You have to train Korean parents.
You do, right?
You have to.
Yeah, because if you don't, then they have weird ideas about life.
Yeah. Mm. But then, like, the thing about, like, recovery, though, like, in therapy, though, like, my parents really want to be supportive of my life, you know, now. But then they didn't want to go to therapy, and they couldn't make up any more excuses, so they went to Korea.
Wait, what?
They were like, I was like trying to make a therapy appointment with them.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, but we have to
go to Korea forever.
We have to go to Korea. Yeah. And then so they like bought themselves like a month by going
that
to
is
Korea.
So fucking
they'll go
funny.
That far.
They'll go that far.
They'll go to Korea. We have to go to Korea. Really last minute?
Just go for we're just going.
We're gonna go
anything.
Like then no, they just got back, so now they have to go to therapy. Oh, yeah. They can't go again.
Yeah. But even when you were getting sober before, they never went?
They went, and they really hated it.
I'm sure they did, yeah.
Because they were, like, so freaked out by the process. Because, they like, Korean people don't talk about their feelings at all. Like, even to the, like, there's bad, like, there was, like, this suit. I remember this guy, like, this family had gotten, like, a white carpet. This is a family, like, in our... We're not related to them, but they were like family in their class of coming over to America. And they got a white carpet, and one of the dads killed himself, shot himself.
Oh, God.
And the
he
blood,
was a Korean guy?
Korean guy. The blood got all over the carpet, and they didn't do anything about it. They cleaned it as best they could, but they just left the stain.
Oh.
They just kind of just left it. God. They don't like to talk, and nobody ever talked about it.
What?
You know, and we
so
like,
they just hop over this red like stain.
Just go over there, right, and there would be this blood stain.
Yeah,
and then you just
walk
by. Nobody would do anything.
Yeah,
they didn't even move the couch over to cover it.
Oh my God, that's what it is.
They just don't talk about problems.
They don't like because when I was growing up, my parents. My relatives thought I was dead.
Yeah.
They just would never talk about me because I was such a fuck up.
Mm.
You know, they don't want to, they're not real in that way.
Yeah.
Or confrontational in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I, you know, I already talked about, like when I told my dad that I was molested at rehab, he laughed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they just don't know how to.
They don't know how to deal with it.
Deal with it, yeah.
They don't know how to, they have no tools. And when so there's like, you know, a therapist trying to get them to equip themselves with tools or to talk about even that process, they can't.
Yeah. But why is that? Because it's cultural, right?
Yeah, it's cultural.
But what are they in Korea? There's no therapy?
No. There's mental health. There's homes. Like I have a cousin who's continually tried to commit suicide and then like. Her mother just moved into the hospital with her. Like, it wasn't, it was like, we're not going to deal with this in therapy. Like, I'm just going to also be crazy too and try to pretend I'm more crazy than you. Like, it's like this crazy, really crazy, crazy thing. The mom actually died just recently. Like, the stress level of it was so intense. And then my mom couldn't even really talk about her at the funeral. Like, my mom said, she looked very pretty. That's kind of all they can say.
Yeah.
You know, there's emotional pain, of course, but there's very, they can deal with it by getting drunk and crying. And then there's the sad Korean movies and these concepts of revenge.
Right.
But not real, like, therapy.
Why is revenge, because they made those series of movies about revenge, like it's Old Boy and all the, like, the other one, Mrs. Snow, something or other. But like, if there's a lot of revenge movies out of Korea.
Because there's no concept of getting through it with tools or yeah. therapy.
Or forgiveness, even.
No forgiveness, only revenge.
Wow.
Jesus, skip forgiveness.
Yeah, it's all revenge-based because that's the only way they can do to equalize the situation.
Speaking of Korean movies, Margaret, if you haven't already seen The Wailing, you have to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's so really strange. Good.
It's set in rural Korea, and
it's
devils and shamans and zombies and just about everything.
Everything
but
in
it's
it.
Funny.
It's No, you said it in the wrong. I love you, and it's a great movie. But the devils and zombies are interpretations, but it's played really dark and real.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It's very real, mm-hmm. right?
Very long movie, though, two and a half hours.
It's a little too long, but it's riveting every step of the way.
Is it in the CGV cinema?
No,
it's
iTunes.
On iTunes.
Get it on iTunes.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's on DVD now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I have to see it.
Yeah, it got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Goksung?
It went to the Cannes Film Festival, so it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's an indie, right? Yeah.
That's an indie.
Oh, it's not.
Fox did it, fuckface.
Oh.
Does that sound indie to you, man?
Yeah, because it was at Cannes.
No, Cannes doesn't have indie. They just put in good movies. It's a film festival.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see it.
Yeah.
Very
sounds
good.
Sounds great. No, but Cannes, let's just stop. Sorry, George.
No, there's indies that have gone there.
I know some, right? But it's not an indie festival.
I was asking if it was indie.
Okay,
it's
like, can we move on to the next question?
Sorry.
I mean, he just says things that just like, doesn't make any fucking sense. Indie? Is
asking,
it an indie?
I've asked how much it was. How much was the movie?
What?
How much was it?
Millions of dollars because it's a fucking movie. Fuck this.
Then it could be indie if it's under $5.
It looks expensive.
Okay, then
it
yeah.
looks, indie. Yeah. If you ever say indie again in the next 2 weeks, right, I'm gonna rip your eyes out.
Get cast in an indie film. All
right. So is there another email?
Yeah. Do you want another one?
One more.
Hello, my name is Karina. I'm 26 years old. I met this super amazing guy over the summer. I think I'm in love. Mm-hmm. The last 6 months have been pretty awesome. I'm ready to make it official. However, he recently moved back to Arizona for work. The long-distance relationship option was basically not an option in his book, heartbreak emoji. We still talk every day, and it feels like we're dating. Everyone thinks I should move on, but honestly, I feel like I'm not ready to give up yet. What should I do? Move on? Confess my love again? Please help.
That's a girl talking.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the guy's doing.
Fucking.
No, I think the guy is like, you know, he's in a different city. He doesn't want to. Let me say something right now. If I get a job, a TV show in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I have to live there part of the year, I'm not bringing up with Kalila because I want this to work.
Mm-hmm. We've also been together 3 fucking years. You can't just, you know, up and leave me with 4 animals.
I know, but even...
they need food.
But the point, even if when I first met you then, bitch.
Okay. I love you.
I mean, God. I can't even fucking... You understand what I'm saying?
Bodyguard.
I mean, she wants to get hit or something.
God.
I would never hit her, Margaret.
I know.
I'm a, you know, good cosmopolitan citizen. Man.
Okay, so you're working in Atlanta. Finish the story.
And I would be like, now, if I wanted to, like, see other people,
yeah.
I would say this. Baby, I want to concentrate on my job, the show. So I just think that, you know.
You're not going to be like forthcoming and say, hey, like.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You don't
that's
think
what,
I deserve the blunt truth? Oh God.
Therapy.
I'm not saying that I would do it. I'm just saying that that's what this guy's doing. This guy is going, he doesn't like her.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to just move on. You can't just, if it's not like he's going to make some effort to try to make it work mm-hmm. as a long distance relationship, it's not really.
Yeah.
You know.
And all he's securing is pussy for when he comes back to that city to you. Yeah. That's all he's securing. He's not securing anything. He doesn't want more than that. He's just making sure that you're still willing to fuck should he stumble onto your city, into your city in the future.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Sorry, Corinne. She was also at the live podcast.
Oh, Karina. Okay. Yeah, just get out of it.
Oh, I like
get
her. Out. I remember her.
Get out.
Get out, Karina.
All right. That's all our questions. Mm.
So do we have to plug? You want to plug anything,
Margaret? Any shows?
I don't know. What am I doing? Oh, I'm going to Hawaii with Bill Maher.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. You guys are doing a show together?
Yeah.
At New Year's? Oh, my God. So are you going?
We're doing Oahu and Maui. So it should be good.
You know how much fun you're going to have there?
Yeah, I'm excited. I love doing shows there. It's so great. I love we should doing go there together. There.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Here's what I want to throw out to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try one, it's not a tour, just one show at mm-hmm. some place. It could be Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
where it's kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like an Asian. I want to try one with Margaret, me, if Ken wants to do it.
Allie
Wong.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Steve Byrne, yeah. Maybe Joe Coy, because he's.
Yeah.
And just do one night
mm-hmm.
of a big thing.
Huge Asian
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that'd
a
be great.
A huge Asian show.
Yeah.
I'm going to, this next year, work on that.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fun.
And I want to do a round of applause for Margaret for your name.
Thank you. Yeah. I love you.
Thank you so much.
I love you so much.
And happy holidays, anyone listening. And
not there yet. We're still like 3 weeks
doesn't
out,
matter.
Right?
Happy holidays yeah. if anyone's listening. And God willing, your heart will go to the other lands.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I just made it up.
We make a lot of quotes up.
Okay.
I make up quotes.
Yeah.
Good.
Forgive yourself.
Do you have any shows?
What?
Any shows?
I'm in Irvine.
January 13th. Ooh, January 13th.
Michael Rosenbaum.
With Michael,
okay. Michael Rosenbaum. Oh, Michael. So Rosenbaum. You know Michael Rosenbaum? He was in Smallville. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He played Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. He was our guest 2 weeks ago, and I think he's naturally funny.
So funny.
And so I said, well, you should do stand-up. He's like, where? I go, open for me. But he opened for Harland over the weekend.
To practice.
And he killed, apparently.
Oh, that's
great.
There
you go. He'll be good then.
And now he's addicted. So he'll definitely be there in Irvine.
Mm.
Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on Tiger Belly and Instagram at Tiger Belly, on Twitter at The Tiger Belly, and email us any questions like the folks from today at thetigerbelly@gmail.com. Anything else, Kalila?
No, that's it. Thanks. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ciao.
Bye, guys.
Bye.